Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on August 19th, 2014 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. This edition of Tell Us Something features 10 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, Busted. This week's story comes to us from Megan Hollinsworth and is titled, Busted Open. Thank you for listening.
Hi, it is hard to see you. So thankful to have Elias allowed here. And so there are things that are impossible to talk about, and I'm going to talk about four of them in this story. impossible and foolish. And one is a kiss, and another is grief. What's another? Orgasm is another. And what's the other? I'll come to the fourth in the story. And there are also two things that people say, and one is that be careful what you wish for. And another is when you are following your path, when you're living your heart's desires, you'll find true love. And so this story kind of wraps around all of that. And it begins with me following that path. In 2011, I lost a job, and so I ended up, after months and months of searching for work in an overcrowded job market, taking work experience off my resume and looking at what I was passionate about. And that was covered during my graduate study, looking at the human emotional and spiritual response to mass extinction and genocide. And so I started Extinction Witness, and I was working on this, and I wound up finding someone that I adore and fell in love with, but the timing was way off, and it was way off in many ways. It's like forbidden love, you know, that forbidden love. And it was long distance, and we started interacting long distance, and then we had a chance to meet in person. And it was like this, it was like magnetic, you know, where you just can't keep your hands off a person, where you just want to say, may I hold your hand? You know, the song, I Want to Hold Your Hand, it's true. It's like, can I touch you? It's like, however I can I touch you? And so we had literally an hour, and we were talking at one point, and I remember talking, and I remember looking, I was looking down, and I said, love and change are the two constants, and all of a sudden, I was pulled into this kiss, and it took me a while to even realize that it was a kiss. It was like one of those, like, what's happening moments. So here I am, the fool, and I finally got that it was a kiss, and that I was being kissed, and started to kiss back, and then we pulled away. And you find a moment that you want to live in forever. And I became a little bit like I flew back to Montana, and I became very much, Jennifer had mentioned that she was having a second childhood, this emotional thing. And I think I've been in the same thing myself. I became this three-year-old who'd had like a taste of honey and then was told that she couldn't have any more. And so you can imagine the child in the toy store, or a child who's tasted something really, really sweet and is told never again. And it was really hard for me to accept that. So I went through months and months of saying, yes, I'm tough, I can do this, I have a practice, I can meditate, I can do all this. And let me back up, actually, we missed an important part. So I got the message that we had to, you know, kind of cut it off and not be in touch. And not be in touch. And I also have been a forest activist in my time, and I was reading a book, and it has in it the story of a giant sequoia that was cut in 1853. And I couldn't, I was reading the story, and you know, it's a 300-foot diameter, 300 feet tall, 30-foot diameter tree. It was written as if it were 90-foot diameter. So I was imagining this massive, massive sequoia, like, across this room. And I couldn't grieve. I couldn't cry. And I didn't know why I couldn't cry. I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? This is my passion. I've cried over forests for decades, you know, and couldn't cry. And so I also couldn't sleep that night, and I ended up going to my body. And I found that grief, I found that scream in an orgasm that also shot light up through my body. That's the other thing we can't really talk about, which is awakening or enlightening, because it's impossible to say what this is. But it was energy, whatever it was shocking to me. It was a horrific scream. It would shatter these walls. And there was sensation awake in my sacrum for a while, and I told a yoga teacher, and she said, oh, that sounds like Kundalini. And I said, oh, it's Kundalini. So I named it Kundalini. I had a name for it. And so that was exciting, but I didn't know what I was in for really at the time. And so there's still this grasping, really this grasping from me for this human being that I love dearly. And it became very uncomfortable for myself and for him. So if you know what it's like to be saying to someone and setting boundaries for them when they're not accepting those boundaries or they're challenging those boundaries, it gets really painful. And it became that. And when I finally got it, when I finally, the message came down, stop the, you know, stop this. No, this isn't the path. Stop this. It took me some time because I had Elias with me actually that morning when that message came through. And then when he was down for the night, I, for the first time, really let that into my heart completely, what I'd felt for the world for a long time, which I had already accepted that we're in the midst of a mass extinction and that extinction happens and that, you know, eventually we have a choice about the time and how that happens and how we live, but we don't necessarily have a choice. Okay. We don't necessarily have a choice about, thank you, Eli. We don't have a choice about that happening. You know, death is what it is, and it happens. So I'd gone through the process of grieving the world, but I was really resistant to grieving this individual and not having him in my life. And when I let that through, I was like, "What? Why does it have to hurt so much? You know, why does this have to hurt so much?" And I found myself on the couch, lying on my back, you know, for the first time actually speaking out to God or love or whatever we want to call something that is there, you know, asking through these tears, why does it have to hurt so much? And what I got back was a message that, so you would believe my love, so that you would believe in love, believe my love, believe love. And that began 3 days of heaving grief, you know, just, and here I am talking about something again that's impossible to talk about. So anyone who's suffered in this way and felt that kind of great loss in their life knows that it's impossible to express in words. And it was a clearing of this chakra. Does anyone know what this chakra is called? I can't think of it right now. Solar plexus, yes, it was that clearing, and I'd always had pain in my solar plexus whenever I'd had massage or any body work done. It'd always been a stuck place. And so whatever had happened with this particular grief, it was a cracking of that and an opening into my heart. And on the fourth day of that, I was taking Elias to preschool or Montessori, and I thought that I would come home and spend the day in bed grieving like I'd been doing. And instead, a poem broke through. And it's a poem called Love Like Wildfire. And I ended up setting that to film. I'd had these images. I'd gone to visit the giant sequoia in February to do a ceremony with the tree. And I had these images sitting there. And I knew that I wanted to use them, but I didn't have the music. I'd been searching and searching for the music to put together the film. And at the same time, this poetry came through, the song came through. I ended up using Eddie Vedder's Without You for the film. And so it just became this creative surge. And I didn't spend the day in bed. I spent the day writing, and then I spent the next week producing a film. So the moral of the story is, one, try to not talk about things that are impossible to talk about, if you can. Two, do your best not to grasp at the world or at people or at objects or whatever it is. Let the loss into your heart and feel it fully, and lie down on your back wherever you need to, and let the tears flow. And the moral, my understanding of the whole thing is that this is exactly how it had to happen. You know, that if we had been able to be, you know, if we'd spent time together, if we were able to be together, I wouldn't be half the human being that I am now. So I'm grateful to be alive through the process. I wanted to die, honestly, then, but I'm grateful to have the poetry and to be creative and to be alive with all of you. So that's it.
Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, performance art, and film. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best gifts, music, and more. Great people, great music. RockandRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks. MissoulaSoundworks.com. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and especially to the storytellers, Reed Reimers, Jennifer Edwards, Steve Gonzalez, Ingrid Beal, Megan Hollinsworth, Ben Weiss, Kim Maynard, Kate Morris, Nita Maddox, and Courtney Blakely Shields. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for October 9th at the Top Hat. The theme is The Things We Carry. See you then.